Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, the Trump administration has taken a zero-tolerance policy against those attempting to cross into the U.S. along the Mexican border. That has meant small children, some as young as four, taken away from their parents or loved ones and detained in holding centers. The criticism of the Trump administration's policies are growing, but the president stands by them. So what is the lasting impact of zero tolerance for those children separated from family, those family members, and the impact of those policies on the U.S. and its citizens? A lot to unpack tonight. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you, your questions or comments. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We have a stellar panel tonight to help us move this conversation along. In studio is Dr. Sylvia Martinez, president of the D.C. Latino Caucus and a professor here at Howard University. Margarita Delaunay, chairman of the board of directors with the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And Dr. Clarence Lussain, chairman of the Department of Political Science, also at Howard University. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like you to be part of this conversation tonight on immigration, the policy along the U.S.-Mexico border, what it means for the U.S., what it means for those children and families who are being held in detention centers there. Dr. Lussain, let's start with you. We assume most folks know about zero tolerance, what it means, what it is. Explain it, if you can, in its simplest terms.
Well, in a very short way, in April, the Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions decided that it would break from the Obama, the Bush, Clinton, other presidents who were flexible in addressing issues of people crossing the border who came with children. And what had existed before was that there was a decision to basically look at it as a civil issue rather than a criminal issue. But the Sessions Justice Department, taking its leadership from Donald Trump, decided that they would go hard line. Now, as we found out in a recent New York Times article, this was not spontaneous. At the very beginning of this administration, going back to March 2017, there were discussions within the administration that they would institute a policy where they would take children away, partially as leverage and partially as this was an attack on immigrants. One of the things I think is going on is much of this is really about 2020 and Donald Trump attempting to address the interests of the most extremist elements of his base and building a immigrant, an anti-immigrant atmosphere. Look at the language that Donald Trump has used. He calls them animals. He talks about an infestation. He talks about these are children who will become gang members. As we know, he famously referred to some of these countries as whole countries. So the basis has been there to rile up his base to support these extremely hardline policies. But it's shocking to the administration that, in fact, many of his Republican allies have saw that this cannot fly.
Dr. Martinez, we know that President Trump really has just gotten back from Capitol Hill. He met with GOP leaders in the House and the Senate who are working on legislation because, as Dr. Lussain says, I think they see the public outcry here in the U.S. What's your feeling on how this will affect those children and families who are being held? We've heard the sounds of those children asking for their family members in the I think it was a public radio. I'm probably not getting the folks who released the sound.
ProPublica.
Thank you, Dr. Lussain. So what's the effect there on those families?
Well, you could just imagine. And let me just go back a little bit. The kids that are being separated go all the way down to maybe 10 months. Hmm. So not 4 years, mm-hmm. even 10 months. And there are stories of mommies giving the babies milk and at that moment being separated. So, you know, it really is something that, of course, there's a reason why we've seen so many, such an outcry. And going back to Trump, of course, the way he did this was, let's try to dehumanize. So it's been a year and a half or so of trying to dehumanize this population so that when this happened, we wouldn't have an outcry. And as our previous speaker was saying, there was an outcry. So I think they are quite surprised. Now, what are the repercussions? You can just imagine what it is to come with your child from a place where there's a lot of intimidation going on, some gang wars, where probably the kids have even seen their uncles or aunts killed. So they were already coming traumatized. The trauma of coming to another country through different dangers, etc. So the kids are already traumatized, like any other, like an adult would be. You can imagine what a child is going through to then find themselves being separated from their parents. And I just think about when the babies are first taken to kindergarten and they start to cry, and the parents also are crying. You can take that now, it's at the nth level. Of course, we've got the medical professionals, we've got the social worker professionals, and my background is on child development, etc. The trauma, we have, there's a lot of research that has been done on failure to thrive, kids who are not hugged, and there are stories of people being told that the children should not be hugged.
And there's been a lot of focus on that. We've even heard on that ProPublica radio, I think one of the officials there sort of making fun of, you know, maybe we should have some kind of...
Let me hear the orchestra.
Yeah, let me hear the orchestra, I guess, of the violins. Margarita Delaunay, love your name, chairman of the board of directors with the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We're asking about the impact that we'll have on the children, the families there. But there's an impact here in the United States. And we're seeing pushback. We're seeing those Republicans calling President Trump to Capitol Hill saying, listen, we've got to do something here with this bill. Are you surprised at the reaction in the United States to what is happening along the border? And is it because of the children?
I'm actually quite hopeful with this outcome that we're seeing this reaction, that in spite of the fact, as the professor stated, that Trump has been laying the groundwork for this for months and over a year, obviously, that we're waking up, that we're seeing this, that we're paying attention. We just need to do more of it, because this is going to impact us for a long time. The legacy here, the shame here, and it is shame. And if we do fail to do something, that shame is going to be for all of us. It's just incredible to me, the heartbreak of these children. We know they're probably, and I'm not an expert, they're probably going to suffer from PTSD from this. As Dr. Martinez was saying, these are children that have already been subjected to violence, to insecurities, etc. And to have that one person or persons, their parents, taken away from them is major. It's a major blow to their psyche that we're inflicting that is going to affect them. And it's not right.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight, our focus is the immigration policy put forth by the United States vis-a-vis President Trump and his administration, the zero-tolerance policy, what it has meant for families being held and detained at the border, children, as Dr. Martinez has said, as young as 10 months old. So we're talking about that, its effect on those families and the United States. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. Let's go to those phone lines if we can. Pamela is calling from Bowie, Maryland. Go right ahead, Pamela, with your question or comment.
my comment was that people really need to pay attention to what's happening, because this is limiting immigration for people of color. They're not putting forth the same effort from Canada. They're not putting forth this effort from other places. And if we don't watch what is happening, history is doomed to repeat itself. You know, this is not new, this treatment. It's just horrible the way that they're doing it. And it's time for people to stand up and say that we're tired of this ugly mark that America keeps putting on us.
Well, I think...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say to our panel, Pamela, based on what you were saying, and that you sort of led me into the next question that I had, and either one of you can jump on this. And I wanted to ask if you felt like this issue was predicated or undergirded by race, this policy.
I think it's at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. It's inhumane, as my colleague said. It's shameful, but it's racist. And as Pamela indicates, and for Trump's base especially, immigrant means black, brown, indigenous, Asian people. And they have prepped for this for decades. And so the idea of responding to this, we've seen a lot of pushback, but there is a base out there that really does support this policy. And you see this in conservative media. Fox News has backed the president all the way. They talk about these cages that these children are in as a summer camp, and that it's really not that bad, when in fact, as my colleagues say, the trauma of not only being separated from your parents, but your siblings. So you come over with your sister and with your mother, and all three of you are separated with no idea where you're at. And it does not matter how, as the administration is trying to justify, how much game playgrounds and video games are in these centers, there is a permanent damage of being violently separated from your parents at the ages we're seeing these children.
Dr. Martinez, you wanted to pick up on
that. Definitely. We have a history here in the United States of separating black families during slavehood, Native Americans from their parents, the Japanese family. So this is something that there's a history of. And I have to say, I just came from Finland, and I was talking to two Germans. And when I mentioned this to them, they looked at each other and said, oh, my God, this was our history. So, it's like that this desensitization of people of color, where they actually, people would be so mad if their dogs were treated this way. Oh, you're separating the dogs from the family. You're putting them in cages. Oh, you don't let them see the... So, you know, and it's gotten to a point where people of color are not even considered as such.
And we must remember, and Margarita, I know you want to follow up on that, and I'm going to get back to you, that we should remember, too, that most of these kids are being held for 22 out of 24 hours inside these centers, and they have about 2 hours outside, and we know in most prisons that's pretty much kind of the same kind of system. So Gloria and Sarah, we are going to get to you. Please stay on the line. We're going to continue this conversation talking about the zero policy, the immigration policy by the Trump administration and its impact on the United States, the children and families being held at the border, and those detainee centers. So we're going to get to that. We're going to continue this conversation right after this timeout. If you're on the phone, hang on. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next with Jeff Brown on 96.3 WHUR, 202-319-7810. Zero tolerance, immigration, our topic tonight. We'll continue right after this break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, a timely conversation. Our conversation and topic is immigration, an issue that is not just national, but international, sparking conversation and controversy. The zero tolerance policy by the Trump administration, separating children from parents, some children as young as 10 months old, up to 11,000 children, if not more, being detained right now including, again, families also being detained in those numbers. So that's our conversation tonight. We'd like you to join it, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Dr. Sylvia Martinez. She's president of the D.C. Latino Caucus, and she's also a professor here at Howard University. Margarita Delaney, chairman of the board of directors with the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and Dr. Clarence Lusain, chairman of the Department of Political Science, also here at Howard University. Margarita, you wanted to sort of follow up on the question or the point that Pamela made, that she felt like, number one, we need to pay attention, that she feels that this is a race-based issue.
Absolutely, I believe that. Two points here. First of all, our immigration laws have always been race-based. If you go back and read the history of our immigration laws, the first ones that were passed, first one was against the Chinese, basically prohibiting their women from coming to the United States because they didn't want them to procreate. Then we passed another law against the Japanese. Also, people that are Asian, they're different from us, quote-unquote, supposedly. This administration has been honing in first against the Muslims and against the Latinos. And of course, as the professor stated, one of the things is prepping us by saying things like calling immigrants rapist, calling immigrants MS-13, calling them cockroaches, and other words. Frankly, those are the precursors to genocide. Those are prepping people and grooming them to accept these things. And again, I'm hopeful because the United States is waking up. The other thing is that President Trump himself said that why aren't people that are from Norway immigrating to the United States? Well, what is Norway? Norway is primarily Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So it's very clear what the agenda is. Make America Great is not about improving our economy or improving these things. Unfortunately, it's taking us back 40, 50 years and making America more white.
And we probably should note from a historical point of view, immigration policy has probably always been based on, even when the term sort of white wasn't used 2 centuries ago or even a century ago, with Southern European immigrants that they did not want into America. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of became more of a color and features issue as those Southern European immigrants sort of morphed into sort of a whiteness, as we would call it today. Mm-hmm. But you are exactly right, Margarita, on what many feel is the latent issue with the Trump administration. We're talking tonight about immigration, its impact on the children and families who have crossed the border illegally, but also what it means for the United States and its citizens and policy and our international relations. So that's a broad conversation, but all of those things, I believe, are interconnected. 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Chantel calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Chantel. Do we still have Chantel? I think we lost her. So let's go to Sarah calling from Glen Burnie. Go right ahead, Sarah.
Yes, I have a question, and I don't understand, what is it that Donald Trump has to do to be impeached? Because what he's doing is inhumane. It's no reason to punish the children for what you think their parents are going to do. What would he feel like if somebody took his son? He acts like he's still on the TV show, You're Fired. Mm-hmm. And the country seems to be letting him get away with everything that he wants to do.
Sylvia, do you want to address Sarah's question?
That is exactly the question that we're all asking ourselves. What does it take to impeach?
But how long has that question been asked?
Oh, it's been asked
probably since about day three.
Since about day three with all his lies. And we don't know how.
Well, he has said, let's really put this in context. He has said, I could go out and shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue.
And
Rudy Giuliani has said he can assassinate James Comey. And so in that context, so
what it's going to take
is it a Democratic Congress?
Non-Republican Congress, because these Congress members in the Republican Party, both on the Senate and the House side, simply will not go after Donald Trump. Trump knows that. He's exploiting that. And that's what's keeping him in the midst of the corruption, the collusion, the nepotism, all of the things that would have gotten any single other president in this history of this country impeached months and months ago, Trump is able to get away with.
Would you agree with that, Margarita?
I absolutely would agree with it. Just let's start with the, and I'm going to mispronounce this, I'm sorry, ambulance clause, and the fact that, one of the lawsuits was thrown out. And I look at it and I'm like, okay, if President Trump is not violating that clause of the Constitution, what would be a violation? Mm-hmm. Because everything that's happening to me seems like it's graft, corruption, etc. And he is not the shining example that we need. I would be embarrassed to be sitting at the dining room table with him.
The emoluments clause, I think, is what it's called. And that's where you should be divesting yourself from any businesses or profiting from any businesses while you hold public office. And the president has not done that. And we do know that international officials stay at the Trump Hotel, which then puts money back into the president. And if you're doing business, hey, why not stay at the hotel that is owned by the president and his family?
And in addition, he's had heads of state stay at, quote unquote, the Southern White House, and you know that they are not staying for free.
Well, this is when we get to the democratic process, and I think we'll see in November what will happen. 202-319-7810. Our guests tonight are helping us talk about this important issue, the immigration policy of the Trump administration, what it means, its impact. It is dominating the news cycle really like no other in the Trump administration, maybe other than some of the tawdry issues that seem to be taking the back burner now. There's one every other day. Let's go back to the phone lines if we can. Brian calling from D.C. Go right ahead, Brian.
Yes, I was calling because I was trying to get an understanding. It seemed like people were pretty disturbed, and rightfully so, from kids being separated from sometimes parents. It seems like 10,000 out of the 12 were sent without the parents or people who were parental guardians. They were just being smuggled across the border. But what my question was if being a minority, and being in a minority group myself, if I were to trespass and go to someone's house and be in an unfortunate situation where I didn't have housing, but I would have taken a child with me, mm-hmm. would I be given these same privileges as the immigrants, or would they separate me from the child? And if so, would it be the same outcry with that?
Good question, Brian. And I think what Brian is making the argument that some have made, I can't remember what politician it was. It might have been the Homeland Security Secretary who said, hey, listen, if you break into a 7-Eleven as a lady, you know, if a mother breaks into a 7-Eleven, she goes to the jail. They're not worried about, well, we can't put her in the jail without her children. What's different here, Sylvia?
Okay, well, what's different here is that crossing the border is a misdemeanor. So, and I can understand there are some situations in which maybe a drug smuggler, then even here in the United States, if you have a parent that's smuggling drugs, et cetera, you are following the law or regulations and human resources, et cetera, then you have the child separated from you if the child is in danger. But the situation here is that it is indiscriminatory. The kids are being separated. It is a misdemeanor. And usually with any misdemeanor, parking situation, et cetera, you go, you pay bail, and then you just wait till you are received in court. The other thing is that some of these families that are coming are not necessarily crossing the border just as, mm-hmm. but some of them are asking for
asylum.
Yeah. Asylum.
Yeah,
and they
is
are
point of entry to point of entry or after they cross into the country illegally.
Well, what they usually do is they will search for the person in charge and say, I am seeking asylum.
Right.
And then once you seek asylum, there is a process that has been established. But these people are also being treated as if they were committing that misdemeanor of crossing a border. And like somebody was saying, wow, you know, it is a border and a little rock in the universe, which is Earth.
But I think you make a very important point, Dr. Martinez, because a lot of the push and pull of this argument is, does the Trump administration have to prosecute it in the manner that they have been doing so? And their counter, Dr. Lusane, has been, well, this is the law. And those against are saying, no, this isn't the law. This is policy that you've decided. This is how you want to prosecute this issue.
Yeah, it's really a couple of things. It's really important to disabuse that this is not the law. The Trump administration thinks, like it does with many things, that if it keeps saying it, then at some point people are going to believe it. But this is not the law.
And make it clear when you say this is not the law, meaning that they don't have to prosecute them as a non-misdemeanor.
Right. There's nothing in the law that says you have to separate parents from their children. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that says that at all. This is a decision.
But does it say in the law that you can?
It says you can.
You have the autonomy to do it.
It says you can, but the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration looked at the humanity of instituting a policy where you would separate young children from their parents and decided it could be handled in non-criminal kinds of ways.
So I want to be clear on this, though. So the distinction is that the Trump administration can do it, but they also can decide not to do it. So can is really kind of the operative word here. It doesn't mean, so I guess their argument is that they're saying is that no, this has to be done this way because it's in the framework of the law. So therefore, that's all we're doing is following. And those who counter it are saying, well, you can interpret that law in different ways.
But they're also leaving out Dr. Martinez's really critical point, mm-hmm. that people are coming and saying they want asylum. Everywhere in the world, including in the United States, you are not a criminal if you come to a border and you ask for asylum. What you're saying is, please put me in the process where I can be investigated for my claim that I'm in danger or my family is in danger. That is not a criminal act. But the Trump administration has criminalized that so that people around the country think that everyone who shows up at the border and steps onto U.S. land without a visa is committing a crime. But that's not the case at all. And just one other quick point, even though I think the administration is being pushed back, this is going to be a long-term battle because there are people in the administration, Steve Bannon, who left but who's still in touch, Steve Miller, Kelly and Sessions, who are hardliners, mm-hmm. and they are not going to give up on this issue. So this isn't just something we're going to be dealing with right here in the immediacy. As long as Trump is in office, they are going to push for the most harshest immigration policies that they can get away with.
Margarita Delaney, you are the chairperson of the Board of Directors with the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. In our Bloomberg Business Report, there was conversation that Tim Cook, head of Apple, may sort of think about how he's going to do business with any of those who support the zero tolerance policy. Businesses are now sort of looking at this issue. So it seems like it's got tentacles that it is spreading out to where everyone now, I think the guy who does the Family Guy TV show on Fox or one of these has said he's pulling out of the show because of the way Fox, I guess, supports this zero tolerance policy. So is this issue just sort of spreading out and it has tentacles where it's going to touch so much more than maybe what we already know?
This issue, it even goes further back, as the professor was saying, because when you stop and think about it, for example, the pulling back of the TPS with many of the immigrant communities, the Haitians,
and
the
explain,
Hondurans.
I know the music is playing, but what is TPS for those who don't know?
Temporary protected status. Mm-hmm. People who have been here a decade, who have invested in the United States, who have paid taxes, who have not broken laws, and yet we have decided to now send them back.
We're going to continue this conversation. Very important point. I want to jump off from that also, Margarita. We're talking about the immigration policy and all of its effects, not only in the United States, but again, internationally, what it means for those families that it affects, what it means for policy, what it means for politics here in the United States. What do the Democrats do? Can they do anything? We do know two local governors have already made a point of distinction today, and we'll get into that. We'll continue this conversation on the Daily Drum, our insight segment, right after this quick break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're having a great conversation, important conversation on immigration, specifically the zero-tolerance policy that has been put forth by the Trump administration, what that policy is doing in terms of its impact on the families and children that are being detained right now along the U.S. border, for those who are seeking asylum, also who are being detained, what it means internationally, and there are religious, obviously, overtones with the Attorney General sort of taking it there. What all of that means. So in our last 10 minutes, we're going to try to hit a little bit of that if we can. Joining us to further this conversation is Dr. Sylvia Martinez. She is the president of the D.C. Latino Caucus. She's also a professor at Howard University. Margarita Delaunay, she's the chairperson of the board of chairman of the board of directors, rather, with the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and Dr. Clarence Lussain, he's the chairman of the Department of Political Science here at Howard University. Dr. Martinez, the issue of religion and how that is now playing in this issue. Attorney General Jeff Sessions took it there. At least 600 clergy person on record took it there today, saying, no, Jeff Sessions, we don't believe where you're going. What do you think about what Attorney General Sessions has done and the reaction to him putting this policy in biblical terms?
Yeah, that is something, well, I don't know if it's surprising or not, but utilizing religion for governance.
And let's say again, for those who don't know, that the Attorney General had just said this policy is supported by biblical text, saying that, you know, you should follow the law, and if you don't follow the law, that you should be punished.
Right. So something that is very true to us is that we have a separation between religion and government. But if you're going to use religion, you should better use it in a wise way. And Session did not. So obviously he doesn't know his scriptures. Furthermore, his pastors, actually nationwide, have actually come up and censored him and have come up with recommendations on having to dialogue with him. And I'm assuming having to send him back to Sunday school, mm-hmm, so that he really understands his scriptures and maybe have him also read the Constitution and everything that says separation of church and power.
It can be dangerous once you go to the Bible, because we all know the Bible is very interpretive and how folks look at that. What's not very interpretive, and Margarita, you went to this when you were talking about TPS, rather, and how those two things are interconnected with the zero tolerance policy. You wanted to speak a little bit more on that.
Because it speaks back to the issue of race, the dynamic of race in our immigration policy. TPS, people who are in the TPS program from Haiti, Honduras, also El Salvador, and I believe Nicaragua, and I might be missing a country. Most of them have been here over a decade. They have complied. They have U.S. citizen children. They have houses. They have businesses, etc. I personally met one gentleman who had a business with 200 employees in the state of Maryland. He has been trying there through the TPS. There is no way, no channel for people to become permanent residents. He has spent over $100,000 in legal fees trying to find a way to do it. Again, he has 200 employees, U.S. citizen children, a house, etc. He is now being asked by the Trump administration to leave. He also tried to apply for the entrepreneur visa and invest $1 million in a new business in the United States. He was essentially told that it's not new money and that therefore he wasn't eligible, even though his response was, it's my money. And when I'm asked to leave, I am going to take it with me. So these are programs that are going to affect us, because these are thousands of people and their children. And when they leave, it will affect our economies, especially in the states of Maryland and Virginia, in the District of Columbia, and I'm sure other Latino, you know, strong states.
And speaking of Maryland and Virginia, as we mentioned earlier, Governor Larry Hogan in Maryland and Governor Northam in Virginia have both said that the four Each state has four National Guardsmen down along the border. They will rescind that and have those Guardsmen brought back until President Trump rescinds his zero tolerance policy. Governor Northam in Virginia is a Democrat. Governor Hogan is a Republican, but he is considered a moderate Republican in a very heavily Democratic state of Maryland, and he is up for reelection this year also. Dr. Clarence Lussain, a caller called in and said, listen, we wouldn't be doing this in Canada. And some would say, I don't know, based on our relationships right now with President Trump and Prime Minister Trudeau and what President Trump has said about Canada. And you mentioned in detail earlier about his blank hole comments about countries, people with color, of color. But what does this mean internationally? How, in your opinion, are countries looking at the United States and this policy? You hear many who are saying we should be the beacon of hope. We're the place where folks want to come, that we allow them to come in. What's your assessment how we're being viewed on the international stage?
Very good. Just quickly, I would just say the quote used by Jeff Sessions to justify kidnapping and imprisoning these kids with the same quote used to justify slavery.
Right.
Exactly. On the international side of this, Trump made a statement the other day, which is part of their shifting explanation, that he did not want the U.S. to become like Europe. And what's really important here is that there is a lot of outrage around the rest of the world, but there are also very strong white nationalist movements around the world that the Trump campaign and then the Trump administration has been in touch with. In the UK, Trump may have a very terrible relationship with Prime Minister Theresa May, mm-hmm. but he's been in touch with some of the right-wing white nationalist forces there. But in Germany, in Turkey, in Spain, in Italy, in a number of countries, the Trump administration has continued to have relations with some of the more hardcore nationalists, white nationalists, anti-immigrant, Islamophobic elements that are out there. So this is part of a broader agenda which people like Steve Bannon are in the operational side of it. Bannon in particular, during the campaign, prepped Trump on Europe's immigrant and migration issues. And it was, again, from the most Fox-oriented kind of racist approach. And that's the playbook that's being carried out on the international level.
Dr. Martinez, Dr. Lussain had said earlier, well, this is Donald Trump, and I'm paraphrasing, a sort of, you know, playing to his base. Well, what we know on this latest polls that are out, Donald Trump has 45% support nationwide. That's the same number that President Obama had, I think, at this time in his second term. So what does this say about a nation where Donald Trump has 45% approval ratings? He's looking at those numbers. It's the highest that he's had so far. And we've talked about the children and what it will mean. Why should the children mean anything to Donald Trump if he's at 45%, the highest number he's been at so far, and he matches President Obama?
The children don't mean anything to him, definitely. He's celebrating. He's at 45. If you look at the stats on the Republicans, they actually do support what's happening. So he is wonderfully celebrating. He doesn't care about the children. He just...
So does it get down to this, though, Dr. Martinez? We all can go, boy, this is terrible for children, right? But is the underbelly of this for those who support the president's policies, your children wouldn't be in that position if you didn't try to cross the border illegally. Don't try to cross the border and then this won't happen to your kids. We all feel bad about that, but if you stay home or if you legally try to come into the United States, you won't have this problem.
It's just this lack of humanity and understanding of the different things that happen around the world. We're so into us, we really cannot empathize with all the different experiences that people have around the world, where they will search for a better place. I heard somebody say, a parent will not put their child in a boat if the land is safe. So, and we know what happens to boat people. So a person will not go for miles and miles and miles under treacherous conditions and actually having to pay a lot of money to come to the United States just because. All of us are biologically ingrained to try to thrive and save ourselves. And so what I see here is an insularism where people, we have the privilege of having our beds, etc., and we just cannot empathize with the plight of others.
And Margarita, do you feel, and you probably have to give this to me in about 30 seconds, that there is a full understanding here in the U.S. of the issue of immigration, really what's going on, what it means?
Absolutely not, because we're not studying what our immigration laws have been about. And we are letting them be used by people who are just have a xenophobia and want to make the United States white again. One last point. Please, people, do not forget this. It is easy to just listen to the news bites and then move on to the next topic. We have to wake up in this country. The biggest danger we have is apathy. Get out the vote. Whether you register as a Republican, Democrat, Independent, vote.
That is the charge, and today was voting in D.C., and we know in November, I'm sure we may have you all back to have another panel on maybe some of the issues come November, depending on what happens. She is Margarita Delaunay, chairperson and chairman of the Board of Directors with the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Dr. Sylvia Martinez, president of D.C. Latino Caucus, and a professor at Howard University, and Dr. Clarence Lussain, chairman of the Department of Political Science with Howard University. Thank you all so much
for joining us for an important
conversation. We thank you all for your questions and all of your calls. That's the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, June 19th. I'm Bramante Bryan in for Harold Fisher. Up next, the connection with Lorna Newton. Have a great night.